From Maine Public Radio and MainePublic.org, I'm Nora Flaherty with the news on this day in Maine, Friday, September 25th, 2020. Oxford County has joined York County in its yellow designation under the Maine Department of Education's COVID-19 color-coded risk system. As Patty White reports, that means schools are advised to take additional precautions to prevent transmission of the virus.
Schools in yellow counties are encouraged to use hybrid learning models, where students learn both at home and in school. That's what most schools are doing already. But the yellow color code also means schools should suspend co-curricular activities and sports. The loss of those activities in RSU 10, which serves seven towns in Oxford County, has been disappointing to the school community, says Superintendent Deb Alden.
I've already heard from very frustrated parents and students.
The school board also voted this week to move to fully remote learning for 2 weeks in the schools that include Rumford and surrounding communities. That affects about 1,200 students. Alden says the district has had one positive case that required a classroom of students and several staff to quarantine.
The students were great about following the rules. They really were. And the staff worked really hard with it as well. And I truly believe our schools were safe themselves. But if it starts spreading out in the community, it's very difficult.
There's an outbreak of 23 cases at the ND paper mill in Rumford. One person has died. Dr. Nirav Shah of the Maine CDC said in recent briefings that the agency is still trying to determine whether transmission of the virus happened at the mill or in the community. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
Overall today, the Maine CDC reported 20 additional cases of COVID-19. The total number of active cases in the state is 588. And a new federal rule allows states to import prescription drugs from Canada. It paves the way for Maine to implement its own program, but a spokesperson for Maine's Department of Health and Human Services says the rule could actually obstruct the goal of bringing in cheaper prescription drugs. Democratic Senate President Troy Jackson, who sponsored the bill to create drug importation program in Maine, says the rule gives too much control to drug manufacturers.
We just need to keep hammering away, saying, you know, this is not what importation should look like.
The federal rule goes into effect in 60 days, then states must apply for approval of their programs. In weather tonight, cloudy with fog in some areas and lows in the mid-40s to mid-50s. Tomorrow, partly sunny to partly cloudy with highs in the high 60s to low 80s.
This past week on Maine Calling, Monday, an update on the start of the school year. Tuesday, immigrants elected to office in Maine. Wednesday, the life and legacy of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
And she would say that the dissenter writes for the future.
Thursday, the rise in scams during the pandemic. And Friday, Winslow Homer's art and ties to Maine.
He's a mythmaker of his own identity in some ways.
Maine Calling, online anytime at mainecalling.org.
Colby College is out with another poll, and it shows that the U.S. Senate race is very close and could be decided by the ranked choice voting process. Maine Public Radio's senior political reporter Mal Leary spoke with Colby College professor Dan Shea, who led the project.
We're seeing tight races. It's really tight in the state of Maine. Now, on the presidential race, we're finding Joe Biden is well ahead statewide, 50-39%, but only up by about 3 points in the second CD, and that's within the margin of error. That's going to be tight up there. We're finding that in our last poll, and others are finding it. Other polling outfits are finding the same thing. It's going to be nip and tuck up in the second district. I have no doubt about that. And it's not a surprise to me, given how close it is, that the president seems to be pushing a lot of money up into that district. I think the Biden campaign will probably respond soon along similar lines. There's a number of scenarios, believe it or not, that could come down to this election, could come down to one electoral vote. So leave no stone unturned, I guess. That's going to be close in the second district.
And when you look at the U.S. Senate race, which, of course, has probably as much attention, if not more, with the amounts of money being spent, that appears to be almost a dead heat. Sarah Gideon has a slight lead outside of the margin of error, but certainly not very comfortable.
That's right, Mal. We have Sarah Gideon at 45% and Senator Collins at 41% with a margin of error of 3.5. So, yeah, you're right. It's essentially the margin of error. We think it's a little closer than some of the other polling firms have found in the last week or two, maybe a dead heat. It's an interesting issue. There's the number of independents has actually been cut in half. Our first poll found about 12% unsure about the Senate race. It's down to 6%. Our guess is that about that each candidate is getting half of those. It's remaining really tight. And then, of course, there's this whole issue of ranked choice voting.
And as part of that, you have the two independents who seem to be doing reasonably well for non-party candidates, Lisa Savage and Max Lynn. You polled this time on both of them, and both of them got some numbers.
Yeah, it's a little bit surprising there. They got 8% combined. Max Lynn was at 5%, and Lisa Savage is at 3%. But what's really interesting about that, Mal, is there doesn't seem to be any pattern emerging from that. You know, there are some wisdom, traditional wisdom around the state that maybe, you know, the votes for Max Lynn, their second choice, might line up with Susan Collins, and the second choice for Lisa Savage might line up with Sarah Gideon. There's some of that, but it's not that clear. It's not that simple. It's fascinating. The ranked choice process is not—it's not lining up exactly the way we might have imagined. One of the issues, I'll tell you, is sort of a methodological issue. There are 79. Our sample is 847. 79 of those would be counted in the second choice of the ranked choice. That is, they didn't vote for either Collins or Gideon on the first option. So our sample is smaller, right? And you divide that essentially in half. So you've got a really small sample size. So it's hard to make any definitive predictions about where they'll line up. But my colleagues and I at Colby are really curious. The numbers don't seem to fit a pattern that we might have expected.
It was interesting that it appeared that both Gideon and Collins had about 8% in terms of that ranked choice voting outcome.
Yeah, our best guess is that they both pick up a couple points when all said and done. But, you know, some of the Savage voters are actually voting for Lynn, and some of the Lynn voters are voting for Savage. And the expected pattern that, you know, candidates on the left would group and candidates on the right would group doesn't seem to be true. But here's what we want to say about that. My colleagues and I have been talking a lot about this. We really don't want to go too far in any sort of prediction on that or any sort of assessment on that, again, because the sample is so small. There's only 79 voters. 8% of our sample equals 79 voters. It's really tough to make any definitive predictions out of such a small sample size.
Yet, of course, the ranked choice voting could make the difference in terms of who is elected senator.
We think so. It's possible. And remember, there are 6% that is undecided still. We think between the ranked choice voting and the undecided, this is a toss-up race. This is really close. We think it's going to be a nail-biter on election night.
That's Professor Dan Shea speaking with Mal Leary about the latest Colby College Voter Survey. Shea says another one's planned for next month, just a few weeks before the election. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Nora Flaherty.